Amen. Well, this is awesome this morning, isn't it? Great crowd. Got your Bibles? Turn to Titus 2. I want to see something. Show me your Bibles. Show me. Now, when I want you to show me, I would like for you also to follow me. Somebody say amen. You people online, right now, share this broadcast, because I am going to preach on something that is so misunderstood and so taken out of context. It's one of the great truths of faith, and I want you to be able to share that right now. Put the share button on. You that's listening online, you people leave the church today, share this message, because everybody needs to hear what I'm preaching today. Turn to Titus chapter number 2, if you would. Start reading in verse 7. I'm going to cut a little bit of my introduction down because we took a little bit longer time today to get into the service. But I'm glad for all. I even shout about the announcements. Amen. Titus 2. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptedness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God and our Savior in all things. Now here's where I'm going to be heading for the grace of God. Somebody help me. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Look in. If you folks don't realize Christ is about to come back with all that's going on in our world, you're blind as a bat. Look on for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Hallelujah. Now, I'll just give you a brief background today because I know I've got a lot of preaching. Paul, when he left in Acts chapter 27 on his voyage to Rome, he stopped by a little island called Crete, established and planted a church there. Now, you that know the Bible know that Paul, when he left Rome for a while, went back to Crete with his main man, Titus. By the way, Titus also helped him in the work in Corinth. And Titus was his son in the Lord. That meant that Paul led him to Christ and Paul discipled him. Somebody say amen. And by the way, in this passage of Scripture, we're going to reveal the grace of God. Now, here's the title of the sermon, and it's coming from verse number 12, teaching us, or grace teaching us. I'm going to take you this morning into the school of grace. I want to preach about the school of grace. Here's what's wrong today. There's a lot of confusion about the grace of God. How many agree with that? By the way, when God saves you, grace doesn't stop. I don't know if you got it. When God saved you, grace didn't stop. What grace done, he put you in school. What grace done, he enrolled you in school. I'll get into that in a moment. I'm about to get happy with my own self. You say, what is grace? You know what it is. You've heard me preach. Grace is the unmerited favor. That means of God. That means God gave me something good that I didn't deserve. Another acrostic is God's riches at Christ's expense. Oh, hallelujah. We don't deserve grace. We ought to all be burning in hell. We ought to be lost. But thank God for the grace of God that came to where we were. Whew. Now, Strong's Concordance has another definition of grace I was real interested in. It's a practical definition. It is the divine influence of God on the heart and its reflection in the life. I want you to know something. I believe this. If grace has ever touched you and ever got in you, it has to make a difference in you. Somebody help me preach. Hey, when he talks about grace, he talks about in Ephesians 5, we need to sing with grace. And in Colossians, we need to speak with grace. Then he says we need to stand on grace. Then we need to serve with grace. We need to suffer with grace. And by the way, his grace is sufficient. How many of y'all found out his grace is sufficient? How many's been through a dark hour and found out that God was there with you all along? Oh, I'm trying, Brother Ray. Hate to have to rush myself. But now I'm to the point. Now you got your Bibles home. First of all, let's don't be ignorant. Let's go to school this morning. How many of y'all didn't like school? I hated it. You know, some people go to school and they learn. Some people go to school and don't learn nothing. Somebody help me preach. Look at verse number 11. I'll tell you what grace does, number one. Grace does, number one, it converts lives. I got to tell you something. Look what it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to what? All men. I want you to know I got converted when I got saved. But you say, what's that mean? I got changed. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I got converted. I was going one direction, and now I'm going another direction. Somebody help me preach. Now, look at it. It's a sovereign origin for the grace of God. I want all y'all to know. Don't be ignorant of this. This is where we preachers are afraid to preach sovereignty because we don't want to be labeled with a Calvinist. Well, I'm not Calvin, don't have a Calvinist bone. But I want you to know your salvation didn't originate with you. Your salvation didn't originate with y'all. Your salvation originated before the foundation of the world. Well, the thrice holy God planned your salvation. That's why your salvation's so perfect. That's why your salvation's so wonderful. That's why your salvation's so glorious. Because it's not grace of man. It's not grace of the Baptist church. It's not grace of the Methodist church. It's not grace of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm preaching all the time. Secondly, right under that, it's his saving output. It brings salvation. Come on now. Now I want you to know something. Your salvation is not by your church membership. Your salvation, it's not because you talked in the tongue once in a while. Marguerite talks in them all the time. Your salvation is not because of your baptism. Your salvation is not because of some emotionalism. Your salvation came to you by the grace of God. It was a free thing. Nothing you done. Nothing you earned. Nothing you worked for. It's not cheap. It cost the price of Christ. It's splendid outreach. It appeared to all men. Amen. Unquestionable actuality. But God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sin, in sin Christ died for us. For God so loved how much? I want you to know there's a crowd called the Calvinists that believe that he only appeared to some people. That means this, Andrew, I'm predestinated you be saved. But North Carolina boy, you're on your way to hell. You're predestined to hell. And you're predestined to save, and you're predestined to hell. What a terrible, unscriptural doctrine. And by the way, there's a lot of people, this is where the school of grace comes in. There's a lot of people, I'm a grace preacher. I believe in salvation by grace, but I'm not a Calvinist. Come on, help me. Universal availability. Whosoever. How many believe it's a whosoever? Whom have appeared unto all men. How can somebody say it didn't when he said it did? How many glad for the happy day it appeared to you? Raise your hand if you're glad when it appeared to you. Wave at me if you know it appeared to you. Wave at me if you're happy about it. Wave at me. Wow, glory! is wonderful. I'm about to take a lap around this place, but once I have fat, I would. Verse number 12. Now, let's go to school. Y'all, how many's with me? Grace converts lives, but also grace cultivates learning. What happens when you get saved? You're enrolled in school. What happens? Amen. You start learning. Now, because you're in school, and because you're saved, don't mean you're learning. Come on, help me. Come on. And by the way, because you're in school, don't mean you're going to pass the test. It wasn't, man, I had to tell y'all this. It wasn't for a couple girlfriends I had. I'd have never got out of Sissonville High School. I had a girlfriend. I didn't like her. She was kind of ugly. But she really was. She wasn't much to look at. But she got me through geometry. And I had another one. She was ugly, too. She fell down 14 ugly trees. And she got me through English. Y'all can tell that somebody had to get me through English. And hold it. So just because you're saved, and just because you've been enrolled in the school of grace, doesn't mean you learn anything. I'm coming on. I'm just trying to go where all y'all stay with me. Look what he teaches you. Look at it. Y'all, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness, emphatic denials or corrupt deeds, ungodliness. By the way, what grace done to me is when he come into my heart, grace come into my heart, it taught me to deny corrupt deeds. He taught me also to deny carnal desires, worldly lust. Now, wait a minute. Has your grace taught you that? I'm not supposed to meddle in corrupt deeds or carnal desires of flesh. That's why I don't drink. That's why I don't use any pornography. That's why he's taught me. And by the way, if you ain't got somebody teaching you and he ain't in you, it makes me wonder if you really got it. Oh, it's kind of scary in here right now. And that word denying means disowning. That's what I mean. Listen. When my hand moves to that mouse and to go to dot, dot, grace says no. When I get the temptation to go down to a bar to have a drink, grace says no. Aren't y'all with me? You said, well, I don't have that. I still got 10 desires, and grace ain't teaching you nothing. Now, y'all ain't supposed to die on that. Somebody help me. Then verse 12, an express demonstration. Look what it said. That we should live soberly. That's serious composure. Now, I want you to know something. Tonight is the Super Bowl. By the way, let me give you my prediction. Kansas City, 35. Tampa Bay, 24. But I want y'all to know something. When them boys get ready to come out of that tunnel, they have worked 2 weeks on this. They ain't coming out for games. They're coming out serious. Now, I root against Tom Brady all the time. I can't help it. But I want you to know he's a great athlete. And when he gets on that field, he is Psycho Tom. And he's going to be Psycho Tom tonight. And little Patrick Mahomes better have his A game on. You hear me? So my prediction will be right. But I want you to know he's sober. They're serious. And I want you to know, why is it we can be serious about going to the movie? Why is it we can be serious about our ball games? Why is it that we're serious about everything than being serious about God and serious about church and serious about keeping people out of hell? Somebody help me preach. We need to be sober. Amen. How many's helping me? Then he said, live righteously. That's spiritual character. Not be a character, but have some character. I still believe grace will help you to have character. and proper conduct than godly and separated Christ-likeness. We need to be like Jesus. Only way you can be like Jesus is get in the school of grace. I'm not being like Jesus to be saved. I'm being like Jesus because I am saved. I'm not doing anything to be saved, but I'm doing everything because I am saved. Somebody help me preach. Yeah. Is this okay? Then excited domain in this present world. Now, I wrote this down my notes, and I'm a little reluctant to say it, but I'm going to anyway. You know, they're promoting a lot of people. You know, a lot of people, homosexual, gay, they're so bold now, and they came out of what they call the closet. Well, that ain't good. But you know what some of us need to do? Come out of our religious little closet and be useful for God instead of standing back there and hiding and hoping that nothing bad comes on us. By the way, our domain is this world, but greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. I got a God that can, we can still build a great church in 2021. We can still do great things now. Hey, listen to me. We need to come out of the closet and win people to Christ and get this church out filled. Hallelujah. Am I preaching? I'm excited. You said you seem excited. Remember a little girl came up to her mom and said, "Mommy, the preacher said that we got a big God. I went up to him and said, well, how can such a big God live in me? Because that big God, when you got saved, came in by the presence of the Holy Ghost, sealed you to the day of redemption. You can't be lost if you want to be. You can't walk out on God. You might walk out on church and you may walk out from somebody, but you can't walk out on God because God's going to cold trail you. I got that big God in my heart. And I just believe if you've got a big God in your heart, He ought to be making some difference on the outside too. Am I preaching? Amen. Yeah. See, here's the problem with us. We want grace to keep us out of hell, but we don't want no grace to keep hell out of us. I don't know if y'all got that or not. We want grace to keep us out. Ain't nobody here. Y'all people come in church on Sunday. Ain't none of y'all wanting to go to hell. But see, grace not only keeps you out of hell, He wants to keep hell out of you. He don't want you to live hellish. Live like devil's people. Last night, where was your eye last night? On pornography? Was you gambling somewhere? Was you social drinking? Acting like some sinner? Acting like hell? Well, grace is trying to teach you something. You're in school now. You're out of hell. Won't go to hell. Can't go to hell. But don't let hell affect you. And don't live like you're in hell. Am I preaching on? Am I okay back there? Wave at me, Dave Briscoe. Am I all right? Wave at me, Dave. I'm okay. Thank you. I'm glad you got delivered from your illness, too, by the way. And you're by your $3 or $4, Count Laura. And so glad you're here. Lastly, I'm done. I'm going to tell you what grace also does. Look at verse 13. It's a compelled look. Looking for that blessed hope. It's a mystery. Amen. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. And I want all y'all to know, just in a little bit, I'm going to be glorified. I want y'all to know something. I know this ain't going to be popular, and probably if I didn't put this in, this would be a popular message. But what happened in our election day, and what's happening in this pandemic that's bringing in globalism, bringing in a one-world government, I want y'all to know, you need to do something. I don't want to lie to you today. There's some of you may not live long enough to get married. And it'd probably be good for you. And because he's coming back. Somebody say amen. And those few people might say, go ahead and get the ring this week. Somebody help me pray. Let me tell you, he's coming back. If you can't see the Antichrist plan and the devil's plan in this new president, this new administration, and all that's went on in this pandemic and all this junk that's going on, I want you to know something. Yeah, all of it's leading to the mark of the beast. Oh, and by the way, I ain't getting no mark of the beast. I ain't getting nothing because I'm getting out of here. And by the way, if you take a vaccination, you're not getting the mark of the beast if you're safe. Okay? If you don't, that's good too. I ain't getting politics of that, amen. But I want you to know something. They may shoot if I take one of them things, they may shoot a microchip in me. It don't make no difference to me. Because they'll just see that microchip go up to glory. It's a persuaded anticipation. Followed by a preeminent appearing, a glorious appearing. The Lamb will now become the Lion. Whew. Then a personal authenticity. The great God and our Savior. His impeccable deity. Jesus is God. How many of y'all know that? Whew. I know the Jehovah's Witness don't know that. I know the Mormons don't know that. The Mormons think he's, I don't know what they think. All I know is, I've been saved by grace. How many know you've been saved by grace? Raise your hand high. If you don't know, don't raise them, but raise them if you have. Don't know, don't. Because listen, don't be fooled with this thing. Because if Christ come back, you're going to be left behind for the Antichrist, for the beast, the false prophet, all that wickedness. And see, Christianity ain't a game. Grace is not a game. You better know you got it. Because you could die and go to hell and burn forever or be left behind on a planet that's without God and without the Holy Ghost inside of people. Are you here with me? I want to ask a Christian, is grace teaching you anything? Right now, listen to me. I want to ask two questions. If you died today, how many of you couldn't raise your hand a minute ago? But you don't want to be left behind, and you don't want to go to hell. I don't care what your age is, you don't want to do it. And you say, pray for me, raise your hand. If you're not sure you're a Christian, raise your hand. Say, I don't want to be left behind. I want God to save me. Just slip it up. I see that hand. Somebody else? Somebody else? Raise it up. Raise it up. How many right now say, preach? I know I'm saved, but I've not learned too much in the grace of God in school. And I'm not where I ought to be as a Christian. I know I am a Christian, but I'm not where I ought to be with Christian as a Christian. And I want you to pray for me because I need some schooling. I want to grow more. I want to do more for God. Slip up your hand. See the hands. Come on. Come on. I see him. Come on. Amen. Amen. Now let me, right now, if you're not a Christian, maybe this crowd makes you nervous, but you don't want to die and go to hell. You definitely don't want to be left behind for the Antichrist. But right in your pew, you want to be saved. You can pray a prayer like this, and I'm inviting you up here, but maybe you're a little nervous. You can pray a prayer. Dear God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me of my sins. Christ, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you. Thank you for saving me. Let's do it again. Dear God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me of my sin. Christ, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you as Savior. Thank you for saving me. If you just prayed that prayer, will you raise your hand? If you asked God in your seat, if you did, just sip it out of it. Nobody's looking but me. You did, you, honey? Okay, that's okay. I don't want to embarrass you. Did you? Did you mean it? Amen. In a moment or sometime, come up or after service, come up and see me. I believe you did. I think God's working on you. But come up here and let's help you. God wants to help you. Stand with me. If you're here and you're a Christian, but you really need some more schooling and you need to yield to God's grace, won't you come? Get things right with God. Lord, touch this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on.